Tidal Towers in the house. Duncan Pritchard is here, and today we are going to be talking scary stuff because, well, it's the scary
Halloween.
Time of year.
Yeah. How you been, Dad?
Hey, you know, I'm always, when I see you, I smile. I don't know why. It's a bit like when you look at penguins. I know, that's an homage to an article that Duncan has written for our next magazine. You got to read it. And you, how have you been?
Yeah, not too shitty. Yeah, it's been a nice week. The weather's finally giving us a little bit of spring, isn't it, after the past couple of months of...
Yeah, and already I'm beginning to miss winter because the heat.
Yeah, the humidity is not pretty.
Yeah, but good. It's all good. And have you been out enjoying the trick or treating, or have you been playing it cool, as they say?
No. Tomorrow night's the trick or treating.
Okay. Because there've been a few. There've been a couple of organised. I know some BT did one. I think.
Yeah.
Already,
yeah.
And I've been.
We've got one tomorrow night. Yeah.
Okay.
So I fear the sugar rush of a 9-year-old afterwards, but
wow.
We'll do it. At least we can sleep in on Sunday.
There is, and then quite a few people are very anti the notion of Halloween because they say it's like, you know, it's dark and demonic, and one shouldn't be inviting these things in, but. Did you know? I thought it was very interesting that the origins of trick or treating are not American. It originally started this modern epoch of trick or treating on Halloween is a Canadian invention that moved to America in the 50s. But prior to that, it was an old Scots and Irish combination of traditions. One was called Souls Night. Where homeless people, beggars essentially, were able to knock on doors to be given a soul cake, as it was called, and in return they would pray for the departed souls from that household, and the other was the tradition of dressing up in scary outfits to scare away any malevolent spirits that might be around. So the soul cake and the malevolent spirits scaring. Old sort of, you know, Irish, Scottish tradition somehow made its way across to Canada and then to America and then later to Britain. And then, of course, we caught on years afterwards, but hey, we've embraced it.
Yeah. Oh, it's just, the intention behind these things is, I think, is always the important part. And it's just
having a little fun.
A little bit of fun, exactly.
Because life otherwise can be extraordinarily serious.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about having a little bit of fun, your theme for the ocean today is a peculiar creature, that a denizen of the dark and the deep.
Yeah. You've probably seen it. If you remember Finding Nemo when they're in the dark ocean and then they're just that horrible fish with the big teeth and the glowing light came out of the dark and threatened to Google anglerfish and you'll see. It's a pretty terrifying looking thing. It's not a, certainly not pretty. But these guys live in the deep oceans and, you know, got big fangs, and their dorsal fin is actually modified into a fishing rod. So they've got this little light lantern that hangs off the edge. And essentially that just flickers in the dark ocean. And, you know, all they do is just sit there, and their prey just swims right into their mouths. So they're pretty, you know, they're very, very, you know, just good look. I mean, when they were first found, I think in the 1800s, they actually called them man goblins, and they've been called tyrannical toad.
Are they that size? Are they as big as
No, but it's just, you know, everybody, it's tyrannical toad, and I think they're also devilfish, you know, so they've always kind of had these kind of, I think anglerfish is a lot more benign than the other names that have gone around for it. But really interesting little critters, well, not little, but some of them can get rather large. Very interesting little deep sea fish.
And you were telling me that the bioluminescent part, the lure, if you like, the glowing bait, is not part of the fish.
No. Well, when it comes to what's not part of the fish, this fish has a few parts that aren't part of the fish. The luminescence is actually a bacteria. And to this day, because they're really difficult things to study because they're in such deep oceans, scientists don't know if they collect that bacteria from the wild or if they pass it on to their young, but it's a separate species to the fish, so it's not actually part of the fish. So it's like a symbiotic relationship, but how it gets this bacteria, and all these bacteria, there's about 180 different species of these anglerfish, and they've all got unique bacteria, bioluminescent bacteria.
Wow. So it's an anglerfish a genus or species of many different types.
Yeah, so there are a whole bunch of different types of anglerfish, and all of them are, their bacteria is quite unique, but the bacteria are genetically too similar to have come from the wild, but they can't understand how they would be passed on, you know, through a normal breeding process. So it's a little bit of a mystery of science, is where does that actually come from and how does it start? And it's only the females that have it, funny enough. The males, yeah, this gets even stranger. So the male's actually really small. And what they will do is they'll latch onto the female. They'll just wander around the oceans. The moment they find a female, they'll, with those sharp little teeth of theirs, they'll bite into the side of the female and hang on there. And at any one time, female can have 6 or 7 males that just dangle off her. And they can actually become fused with the female. So they get their nutrients, the blood, everything. They become one with these females. And every time eggs need to be fertilized, the males just release their sperm and fertilize these eggs. So these things that you, the actual anglerfish that we're familiar with, are always females. And then they'll have this little
male
reverse
appendages.
Harem of males that are fused to their bodies. It's really, it's actually, I mean, if you think about it, it's really kind of, it's weird.
It is most odd.
Yeah.
To us, it's most odd, but to them, I'm sure it's as natural as anything. And they are in the deep, darkest, unknown parts of the ocean that we have not been able to explore, and probably never will, because we're much more keen on looking at Mars, for example. Why? We don't know what's here,
yeah,
but we're looking to get away from here.
So much down there, yeah. And things that glow, you know, the deep oceans are just, I think they're just such fascinating places. Now, watch this really interesting documentary with a scientist, I can't remember her name, famous deep sea ocean researcher. Anyway, long story short, she used to go down in these subs into the dark oceans all the time. And at one point, I think the lights failed, and she looked around, and everything was glowing.
Wow.
There was bioluminescence everywhere. And she said, like, for years they've been doing this, and no one thought to turn off the lights.
Wow.
You know, everybody's got the lights on so they can see what's around them, but actually, the moment you turn off the lights, virtually everything has
Avatar.
Got some sort of bioluminescence. You know, all these little animals living in this dark ocean, you know, have got adapted some form of bioluminescence.
So it's not dark. Well, not as dark as one might imagine.
Yeah, well, it's pitch black, but things are glowing and sparkling, and everything's kind of found some form of light, whether it's to attract a mate, to attract prey, or repel predators, whatever the purpose is. They've so many creatures in the dark ocean are actually quite giving off their own light.
And you thought that the Halloween parade in Belito was scary.
Yeah, no, I've gone. Yeah. But go and Google anglerfish, and just they are pretty frightening little things. If you're looking for something to dress up as, I don't know how you would do it, but I'm sure it's a little hat with an appendage hanging off the front.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could pull it off.
And just if you would like to explore the ocean, not necessarily the Marianas Trench or any one of those deep, dark places, but here, right here on our coastline, are the most wonderful things to see. If you are in the company of Tidal Tower, they'll take you and show you things that are sometimes more beautiful than any singing of it, and certainly will change your life. So if you Google either Tidal Tower or Snorkel Belito, you'll be able to find out all about what sort of adventures they offer, what sort of tours they offer, what kind of pricing and availability you can book online. And it's something that I can highly recommend. It will change your life. My special guest, Duncan Pritchard from Tidal Talk. Thanks again.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Always a pleasure. We look forward to another conversation in a week's time.
Yeah, see you next week.
Hooray! And the afternoon show continues.